In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So it seems to me that this day, our liturgy, and maybe all of Lent and our customs and traditions have some contradictions, some tensions that maybe I sometimes struggle with. Now, one contradiction I really wasn't expecting until I started hearing the bells ring at noon. I didn't expect to have a musical accompaniment to our prayer in which we ask for forgiveness for our wretchedness. Note to self, try to get that turned off in time for Good Friday and the Stations of the Cross at noon, right? But starting with our opening prayer, we declare our wretchedness. Well, that's not a word that I really like to use to refer to people. I mean, the contradiction for me is we're created in the image of God. And as the saying goes, God don't create no junk. So that's a little hard to deal with. And then we get into the scripture reading, and sure enough, there's another contradiction. Joel tells us twice to blow our trumpet. And what does Jesus say? Don't blow your trumpet. And then the one that I struggle with every year a little more, gets a little more into the substance of the contradiction. I suspect most of us will leave the ashes on our forehead that we will receive in a little while for the rest of the day. That's generally my custom. I will clean them off before the 7 o'clock service, so I'll have a fresh forehead for fresh ashes. But what does Jesus say? Don't disfigure ourselves. Don't show our piety in public. Show it in private to God. So what are we supposed to make of that? I've got a handy wipe up at the credence table that I can use to wipe my thumb off after I impose ashes on all of us. Should we be handing out handy wipes at the door as we go out to take off those ashes? Well, obviously we won't be doing that. And then there's the whole fasting thing at Lent, right? Now, the traditional Lenten disciplines are prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, giving to the poor, the needy. And that's why we have the gospel that we always have on Ash Wednesday, because in it, Jesus is talking about prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. But you might notice that even though our Lenten disciplines seem to have morphed into the idea of giving up something for Lent, that of the three disciplines and the ones that Jesus commends, only one is actually giving up something. That's fasting. Two of them, praying and almsgiving, involve doing something, not giving up something. So another seeming contradiction or tension, right? And then finally, I have this tension or contradiction as to the whole purpose of Lent, not just today, but for the next 40 days plus Sundays. Is it a time just for sackcloth and ashes? A time just for sorrow and repentance? Hanging our heads, so to speak? Or, as we will say in our Eucharistic prayer in a few minutes, is it a time to prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, to get ready for Easter? No less of an authority than Lionel Mitchell, who is a renowned scholar of liturgical theology, says this about the purpose of Lent: joy, love, and renewal are as much Lenten themes as penitence, fasting, and self-denial. And we need to remember that it is within the context of preparation for our participation in the Feast of Feasts, Easter, that the Lenten penitence is expressed. So which is it in these contradictions or tensions? Well, as one of my favorite seminary professors was fond of saying, it doesn't have to be either or, it can be both and. In other words, sometimes both things can be true. They can be held in balance. There may be some tension, but it's not like either one has to be the only one. So, going back for a minute to those seeming contradictions, yeah, I don't like the word wretchedness. It's, you know, that prayer is a venerable and ancient prayer, but I wouldn't write a prayer today using that word. But on the other hand, we look around the world, and sadly right now we're seeing a lot of wretchedness, aren't we? We're seeing the wretchedness of the dictator Vladimir Putin, wretchedness in spades. But as Christians, we believe that even the worst sinner can be redeemed, can be forgiven. So my prayer this day and until this crisis ends is that God will shine the light of Christ, the light of love, into the darkness of Putin's heart. And yes, we sure don't want to go around blowing our own horns, bragging, showing off, right? But I think what Jesus is getting at, both with respect to the trumpet and to the ashes, the disfiguring, the showing the outward sign, is not to do it for the wrong reason, right? We're not doing it to show off our how great we are, how devout we are. In fact, frankly, if anything, today the problem is on the other side of the coin, that people are often timid and afraid to show the world that, yes, we're Christians. And, you know, that's what that sign of the cross in ashes shows the world. Several years ago on an Ash Wednesday, I had occasion to visit a parishioner in the local hospital. This was in Pittsburgh, right? And I was curious to see if I would notice folks with ashes on their forehead. And as I walked through the hospital to and from the parishioner's room, I only noticed one person, and it was a young woman. I believe she was a nurse. She had a very pronounced, well-done mark of the cross with ashes on her forehead, and I thought to myself, you go, girl. That's the way to go. Show your patience, show the world that you're a follower of Jesus, and you're not afraid to show it. And then, are we to give up something, or are we to take up something for Lent? Well, probably the answer to that question is yes. Again, both and. Now, you know, we could give up chocolate, God forbid, or dessert. But we could consider giving up something far more significant. We could try to give up a grudge, try to give up a fear, a loss, a disappointment about some failure of ourselves long ago that only we remember. So many things we could get rid of in our lives for the better. And then taking on something. Well, how about taking on a little more kindness, a little more love, a little more generosity for Lent? That would be something, wouldn't it? And of course, you know, the list of things that we could take on during Lent is probably endless. I have a slightly biased opinion about this, but I'd suggest that we all come to church every Sunday during Lent. And for the folks who have been watching on television at home, I would recommend that they come in person so they can rejoin the community, the body of Christ, and actually receive the sacrament, since we haven't figured out a way of giving communion or ashes online, right? And, hey, here's a thought. How about giving up an hour and a half on Wednesday evening and coming to our five-part Wednesday evening Lenten series that begins a week from tonight? And then there's so many good causes to give to. There's the church, there's Episcopal Relief and Development, and something that I'm trying to figure out how to do. I want to try to do it the right way. How can I give money to help the people in Ukraine, and maybe particularly the refugees? And I want to make sure that I give it to the best place possible. So many things that we can consider for our Lenten discipline. And then there's this whole question that I raise. Is Lent primarily about penitence, seeking forgiveness, or is it more about joy, because we're getting ready for Easter, right? Well, again, it's both and. I think it's healthy for us as Christians to, from time to time, like Lent, be a little more intentional, kind of step back and re-examine ourselves and our relationship with God. You know, as human beings, we just have a tendency to separate ourselves from God, whether it's intentional or unintentional. And, of course, separating ourselves from God is another word, another term for sin. So, penitence, repentance. Now, there's a scary word, right? Repent. It conjures up in my brain the images of the New Yorker cartoons of the guy in the robe and the beard standing at the street corner with the sign that says, "Repent, the end is near," or something like that, right? It's pretty scary. But actually, it's just a bad translation of a Greek word. What it really means is to change. You know, we have a tendency to walk away from God, to separate ourselves from God. And what repent literally means is to change, to turn around, and to return to God. That's really all that it means. In just a very few minutes, I will be placing ashes on your forehead. I will say, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Well, clearly, unavoidably, those ashes are in part a sign of our mortality, a reminder that, well, as my father was fond of saying, it's a dangerous world, we'll never get out of it alive. We are all mortal, right? But the good news is that those ashes actually mean more than just that. See, ashes can be used as a cleansing agent. And I hope that as you feel the kind of grittiness of those ashes rubbing against your forehead, that you will be reminded that your sins were washed clean in the water of baptism. And when you get home and you see that image in your forehead, you'll be reminded that Jesus loved us, each and every one of us, so much that he was willing to die on the cross for us. When I baptize, when any priest baptizes a child or an adult after the baptism, we dip our thumb not in ashes, but in chrism, holy oil that's been blessed by a bishop. And I make that sign of the cross on the newly baptized forehead and say, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. Now, for a moment, that fresh oil on the forehead shines and you can see it. But not too long, it evaporates, it fades, and then the only people who can see it are Jesus Christ and perhaps Satan. Right? But the ashes that we put on our foreheads on Ash Wednesday will stay until we remove them intentionally. They'll be out there as an outward and visible sign of the fact that we have shared in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we have received new life, eternal life. So, contradictions, tension, just what is Ash Wednesday and the season of Lent all about? Well, maybe my sermon has helped clarify, maybe it has simply muddied the water. So I'm going to leave you with some words from a very wise lady, Joan Chittister, Roman Catholic nun and fabulous communicator of down-to-earth, real-world theology. And this is what Joan Chittister tells us that Lent is for. She says, Lent is a call to weep for what we could have been and are not. Lent is the grace to grieve for what we should have done and have not. Lent is the opportunity to change what we ought to change but have not. Lent is not about penance. Lent is about becoming, doing, and changing whatever it is that is blocking the fullness of life in us right now. Lent is a summons to live life anew. Amen.